Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mary Blake Show. As many of you know, we're dedicated to bringing out and nourishing the hidden genius within each and every one of us. We operate from the concept that everyone comes into this plane with gifts and talents to give to this world, and most of us forget what we came here for along the way. Our guest today, I'm going to tell you, is a man who really lives the concept and the dream that we're working on. His name is Aaron Checkmate Hudson, and he saw a need and filled it over 40,000 times. And he knows firsthand how desperately kids need someone to believe in them and teach them to believe in themselves and convince that evil exists because good people do nothing. He sold his business and founded Be Someone to teach kids how to think strategically. And I cannot wait to talk to him. So, Aaron, welcome to our show.
Well, I'm glad to be on the radio with you. It's a pleasure being here, and my mission is to empower our young people to outthink the competition, outperform, and finish on top.
To me, that is so incredible, but I was wondering, what was life like for you before you took this challenge and ran with it?
What was what now? Say it again.
What was your life like before you went on this mission?
You know, it was, I just was living from day to day. Now I have a vision. Now it's clear to me that we must do something to replace the negativity and to idle, to give children something positive to do, because if they don't do nothing positive, they will navigate to something negative by default. So my assignment is to wake up the young people. And my life was boring before, and now it's exciting.
Well, how did you happen to choose chess for your modus operandi, shall I say, as a way to change children's lives?
Well, chess saved my life. A white teacher in an all-black high school taught me how to play chess and got me from being in a gang and doing some bad things and to thinking for myself. He taught me six magic words: take time to think things through. And that's important because you can make one move in life and never recover. So basically what I'm doing is just paying it forward.
So you're passing on the great, wonderful good that came to you. Is that right?
Exactly.
But in between, what did you do for a living, whatever you did after you got out of that high school?
Yeah, I was in law enforcement for about seven years, and I also had a car business called Hudson Auto Sales. But the turning point in my life is when seven people were shot in a robbery for $2,000, and I said to myself, evil prevails when good people do nothing. So I started a crime prevention program to teach young people to think it out instead of shoot it out. Heads up, pants up, grades up. I don't want to see your underwears.
Wow. That is amazing. You know, how many people see something that way and turn the other way and never do anything?
Right. But here's the beauty. The beauty of it is we all are one. And then I cannot be what I ought to be until you or you ought to be. So we all helping each other. And, you know, we have to treat it as such that way, because whatever you put out there comes back.
It sure does. It comes back harder than it went out, too. But, yeah, so So how did you first start out with your idea to teach kids? Did you just start teaching one or two, or?
Did I what now? Say it one more time.
How did you start out when you decided to try teaching kids chess? Did you start out just with one or two, or?
Yeah, I started out with a few people, particularly my own kids. And then I kind of navigated to doing volunteer work at school, and it just took off from there. Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it piles up, and you a few becomes a whole bunch.
Yep. And I'm living my dream.
Wow.
It's so rewarding helping others.
Yeah. Well, This is an incredible show, and I feel very, very strongly about introducing you to people who might not even know you exist otherwise. So once you began and you saw the power that it had with other kids that you began to work with, how did you happen to decide to work with the what do you do, camps?
I do leadership boot camps and personal development programs where I kind of work with kids and teach them basically to be givers. See, our young people, the jails are filled with people who have this law backwards. They think if you give, you lose. So they're trying to take as much as they can. So my assignment in life is to teach people to be givers. That giving starts a receiving process, and the beauty of giving is that you give back, you get back more than you gave. You don't reap what you sow; you may reap a hundredfold what you sow.
That is the truth. It's the only thing in the world is when you give of yourself. You never run, number one, you never run out, and number two, you wind up getting back so much more than you gave.
Well, this is like when I was a highway patrolman. I was in law enforcement for 7 years, and I never lost a case because I'm not going to write you a ticket on something that's borderline. What I write to is cut and dry. Ain't no, you know, because I'm going to treat you like you're me. Because you are me. You are me.
You're
I arrested
right.
a lot of people for DUIs, but that's because you DUI. I'm helping you. If I arrest you for DUI, I'm helping you. You are me. I got to get me off the street.
So I never lost
a case because I'm not going to write you on nothing that's borderline, and I'm going to treat you fair. I promise you. I'm not going to have your car towed if you give me somebody's number to call. I could have your car towed, but you are me. I don't want to pay no extra. So I treat everybody I stop like the most important person in the world.
That is so amazing. So from the beginning, you had to give up. I guess you gave up an awful lot to do this work, and I'm sure it's paid you back many times over. But how does a man with a family, and how do you just give it up and just lay it all on the line and reach out to people and work with them and change their lives?
I love it. It's my passion. I get a kick out of helping people. I get a kick out of making somebody smile or just catching them off guard. Like when I was in high school, I worked at this shoe store. It was called Kenny's Shoes. And we would close at 9 p.m. Well, if somebody came at 9:05 and wanted to buy, oh, please let me in, I would let them in, and they would, I would make their day. They'd be so happy because that person is you.
Mm-hmm.
That person
mm-hmm.
out there is me. If I see a kid walking around with that pants sagging, I said, man, you are me. What we got to do to help you? One kid told me, he said, listen, he said, I'm the hardest working guy on my job. I arrive early, I stay late. He said, but they won't promote me. I said, I know why. I said, I want you to pull your pants up, and I want you to cut your hair. He calls me back and said he's making $8 more an hour. Just that little tweet. I said, they're not going to promote you if you're making them look bad. You make them dress like a champion, dress like $1 million, and the better you. And then working hard is not enough. You got to work intelligently. Intelligent means you got to dress like a champion.
That's right.
And you got to look like a champion.
That's the truth.
And then you'll get paid like a champion.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes four of them. You got to work, you got to dress, you got to think, and you got to look like a champion. You got to be on top of your game.
Well, that's amazing advice that a lot of people need these days. I mean, you look at people, and people, what do they say? 3 seconds, people make up their mind about you.
Right. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
You don't have a chance. And you walk around with your pants sagging, and you talking about they wouldn't give me an application. I wouldn't give you an application. Well, that's, you know, people shouldn't judge me by my appearance. Well, let me give you a clue. They do. They have nothing else to judge you on.
Yeah, I had someone that I was working with in that way, and they said, "But why? I've got a brain, and I'm smart, and I work hard." And I said, "Look, let me explain something to you. People who are just seeing you, they can't look into your brain. They can't look into your heart. They can't know all the things that you're really good at. All they see is what you look like. And what you look like gives them a message. And when they get that message, they forget about everything else." And they looked at me and said, "Well, that's not fair." And I said, "Whoever told you life was fair?" You know, because we can't be mind readers. We can't get into somebody's heart without learning and working with them and talking to them, and how can they do that?
Well, life is not fair, and you teach your children that. You know, the Bible says you can plant a seed, and sometimes the wind will blow some of it away. Sometimes, you know, it'll dry up, the sun will get it, but sometimes you get 100-fold. So either way, sometimes you lose, sometimes you learn, sometimes you win. But either way, it's all good. Just stay in the game, continue to give good, because the good you do comes back to you.
It sure does. And I'm just fascinated. What gave you an idea to do a boot camp for kids with a chess camp?
Well, because children need to do something that's positive, and they need positive role models. When I was coming up, nothing like this was available. If it was, we were so poor we couldn't afford it. My mom had 13 children. I used to wear hand-me-downs. Yeah, I used to wear hand-me-downs. I remember wearing some jeans one time. They had so many holes and it was so thin, I could set on a dime and tell you whether it was heads or tails.
I hear you. Okay.
I mean.
Listen, I was born in 1929. You don't have to tell me about our times.
I mean, I used to wear hand-me-downs. I used to wear some of my sister's clothes because I can remember playing baseball for the first time and sliding into first base in high heels. And my skirt went over my head and everyone could see my panties.
Oh, my goodness.
It's tough when you got 13 people in the family and you the first boy. Boy, it's tough.
And you got
all these girls ahead of you. Boy, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought it was bad wearing my aunt's clothes when she was 6 years older than I was. I thought that was pretty bad. But you got me beat, Horan. You just got me beat. So you really learned the hard way what it's like to be out there with no money to go and pay for the top teachers and things like that. So you just decided to fix that?
Yeah, I want to do my part, and, you know, I don't want the children to fail on my watch. And I get a kick out of helping people, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and say, hey, look, man, go this way. If you go this way, you'll get it on the right. And they go, oh, yeah, thank you. You know, I like it because if I add value to you, I know it's coming back to me. I know. So make sure you give me, you know, I was teaching my children, I said, make sure all your transactions is a credit, not a debit. See, there's four types of people in the world. The people that subtract, the people that divide, people that add, and people that multiply. God's first instructions to the first couple on earth was be fruitful and multiply. If you multiply value, you will win every time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was telling my son, I said, they cannot fire you if you bring in value. The only time they can fire you if you subtract in value. They not going to fire LeBron James. LeBron James bring value.
That's right.
If you bring value, you win. If you subtract value, you lose. Go above and beyond and bring value. Make the company look good. Don't make the company look bad. No, you got to dress like a champion. You got to make them look good. If you make them look good, they're going to make you look good. If you make them look bad, they're going to get rid of you.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. So
that's the secret. That's the strangest secret. The strangest secret in the world is that giving starts the receiving process, that you got to give to get. Wow. That's the strangest secret. You got to give to get. It's a paradox, and it looks like you're going to lose, but success is a paradox. It's the opposite of what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was teaching a class the other day, a high school kid. I said, listen, if you listen to a commercial and they say 4 out of 5 dentists want this toothpaste, I want to know what the one dentist who's holding out, I want to know what he knows. He may know something I need to know. So you want to find out all sides. You were like, hey, why are you saying this? Oh, shoot, I'm dropping ship. Because sometimes people, it's called conformity. They following a follower. We got to change the game, and we got to follow a leader. If you throwing rocks at the police and you walk around with your pants sagging, you are following the follower. We got to change the game. It's called follow the leader. And be a leader. Get your head up. Get your pants up. Get your grades up. And the big one, never give up.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it happens like a brick wall, one brick at a time.
Yeah, one brick at a time, one move at a time, one soul at a time.
That's right. That's right. And when you touch one child, oh, my goodness, when you think about that, that child is going to grow up. And how many people is that child going to touch?
Right. I remember one time I stopped this white guy. I'm black, by the way. I stopped this white guy, and I gave him a deal on this ticket because he was going pretty fast. And if I'd have put the speed that he was going, he would have been in a lot of trouble. And so I gave him a deal, and he like, man, I used to hate black people, but not anymore. Because it's not about that. I mean, my life is about you are me. It doesn't matter what color you are. If I'm good, you know, I could have put 109 on this ticket if I wanted to. He was going 109.
Yeah, yeah.
But I cut him a deal. Because he slammed on brakes and he slammed on brakes so hard that smoke was everywhere. I mean, it was funny to me. It was like he locked it down. He said, he locked that down. I mean, smoke went everywhere.
Oh, my.
And the reason I gave him a deal, he gave me an excuse I never heard before. I said, you give me an excuse you never heard before, I work with you. He said, I just washed my car and I need it to blow dry it. He said, if I don't blow dry it right away, it'll leave white spots on my car. And I can't have that. Keep it in peace.
Oh, that's funny. That is hysterical. So he appealed to your sense of humor, and you gave him a break. And all of a sudden, here's a guy that doesn't hate black people anymore. Isn't that amazing? Now, you may never see that man again, but you don't know the good that you spread when you planted that seed.
Yep, because we all are one, and I cannot be without to be into you or what you want to be, and we all are connected, and we just gotta come together. It's no black, it's no white. It's the human race is the only race, and you know we gotta love people, and we gotta you know some of my biggest friends are white people, and I have a friend who's we all are one, and you know you can't go around. Doing all this.
You can't go around with a case of assumptionitis. You assume something.
No, you can't, because when you start assuming, you gotta seek to understand. And because you go around assuming stuff, you'll really get messed up.
Oh yeah.
Don't assume nothing.
Well,
you expect and question everything.
Yeah, one thing for sure, I'm convinced that God is colorblind.
Oh, yeah. God is that. I mean, a white teacher in an all-black high school purchased me a chess book, took me over to UAB, which was a college, and taught me how to play chess. I became the first African-American to win this citywide chess championship because of one teacher took the time to purchase me a book and to teach me that all readers are leaders, and to earn more, you got to learn more.
Uh-huh.
I'm from a housing project in Birmingham, Alabama. I got 13 people. It was 14 people in the house at one time.
Woo! That's amazing. That is amazing. Absolutely astounding. So you really learned by doing.
I learned by doing and by taking action. My teacher told me three L's: look, listen, and learn. Look, listen, and learn. And you learn by doing. He taught me by actual experience how to think on my feet and solve problems. How to face life's challenges. Because in front of you there's a challenge, and you got to think. You got to do six magic words. You got to take time and think things through, because every move you make has repercussions, sanctions, and consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You are so right. So when you take the time to think things through, that saves an awful lot of apologies. It saves an awful lot of losses. Saves a lot of time, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Socrates said, "An unexamined life is not worth living." Socrates also said, "Know thyself." The bottom line is, we have to step back. We have to know ourselves. We have to embrace what we are, and we got to constantly try to improve and get better. Progress is impossible unless you do something different. You can't do the same thing over and over expecting a different result. You got to change the game. And so what I am, I'm a game changer. I'm changing the game forever.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
It's life is chess, not checkers. My cat can play checkers. My cat can beat me down in checkers. Now, you know that's ridiculous. So we got to change the game.
Uh-huh.
Cat can't play chess. I'm saying.
Wow. What was that first chess camp like when you?
No,
when
it was
you just.
The first time I did the chess camp, I'm gonna be totally honest with you. When I do a chess camp for a week, At the end of the week, I am exhausted. I mean, I can't even move because it's I put a lot of energy in it, and it's ooh, it pays. At the end of the week, I'd be like, I can't move. Because I'm pouring into the kids and I'm teaching them everything I know because I teach the children as though my life depends on it because it does.
Okay.
It's critical, and I tell the children absolute best, absolute best. So if a child is operating me and I need him to be on his A game, I feel like I did my part because I've already covered that absolute best in everything you do. Anything less than your absolute best is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Anything less than your absolute best is unacceptable. If 85 is your absolute best, that's fine. But if 95 is not your absolute best, don't come in here with no 95. Come up with an A. Not if it's not your absolute best. Absolute best in everything you do. I speak love, I speak hope, and I speak life. Speak love. Speak hope. And speak life.
That
I am somebody.
Wonderful.
Your mind is a pearl. You, each and every one of you are brilliant, and you know it. And the purpose of your life is to discover your unique, your combinations, and your personal powers. You can do this, you can do it here, and you can do it now.
You know, I was just thinking, after that first chess camp, what did you hear from the parents?
Well, I was shocked. One parent told me, she's like, man, thank you. You know, my son is even talking different now. Because I tell them, I say, go to your mom on a scale of 1 to 10 and say, Mom, how am I doing? Mom, say 7. Okay, what, Mom, what do I need to do to get it to a 10? What do I need to do to get it to 11 because I want to go above and beyond? So that's the type of mindset I'm teaching young people. I'm telling young people to try to make straight A's. Because if you go into a place and say, look, you know, my life is about going above and beyond. Because if you really wanted to, you could make straight A's. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of dedication. But sacrifice, it takes sacrifice to be successful. Even in the dictionary, sacrifice comes before success. It takes sacrifice to be successful. You can't get to success first. You got to put in the sweat equity in the time, and it's going to be laborious. But you, when you do things laborious, it pay off, it's a payoff. Opportunity cost. Success cost. Nothing is free.
For sure.
You got to earn it.
Yeah.
Ain't no giving. You got to. Bible say, if you don't work, you shall not eat. So everything you get, you must earn.
Okay. So what was the second chess camp like? Did it ever, any of the ones, first ones come back?
Yeah. In fact, it was like they did it like for about seven or eight weeks. We did like several. Some of them came back for like 7-8 weeks. So we just had some fun and stuff like that. So, but that was back in the day. In fact, I meet kids all the time. They go, hey, I was in your camp. And I'm like, yeah, okay, awesome. So sometimes I don't remember them, but they remember me. So God is good.
When you hit 40,000, I imagine you couldn't exactly remember every one of them.
No, I'm at 50,000, actually. No, I don't remember. I've trained a lot of kids.
50,000, my goodness.
I'm at 50,000, yeah.
Well, what's your goal? What do you really
My goal
dream?
Is a million.
A million? To change a million lives. Oh, my goodness. What a goal. Well, I think you're going to do it. That's all I can say. I'm just sure you're going to do it.
Yeah, God.
But I'm just thinking along the way. In addition to the camps, what else do you do, reaching out to the community and to the world?
I do workshops. I do seminars, I do private coaching, I'm a motivational speaker. You know, I see a need and I try to fill it. If I can serve you, I'm there.
Uh-huh. That is incredibly exciting. There's an awful lot of schools here in New York City that would sure would like to have a speaker
well,
like you.
I would love for people to invite me. I'm open to come to your city, and my goal to be on this show is to try to get at least someone to bring me to that city to do something. That's my goal. So my goal is to try to find sponsors to help me keep my dream alive. I train 50,000 kids. My goal is 1 million, and I need people to support my work to keep the dream alive.
That sounds really great. I'd love to hear about some of the individual kids that you helped and where they went. How long have you been doing this, by the way, Arnie?
I started in 2000, so I've been doing it for about 16 years.
Wow. So some of the kids that you originally worked with are grown up now, aren't they?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, my life is about, you know, helping 1 million, so I still have a long way to go.
Yeah. Do you ever, when you run into some of these people that used to be in your camp, what do they say to you?
Oh, you know, some of them say they can beat me now, and coach, I think I can beat you now. And I go, okay, let's go, let's see. And they go, oh, okay. And I said, school is never out for the pro. The attitude I have is I don't know how to play chess. That's the mindset I have. Because once you know it all, you're no longer teachable.
Uh-huh.
So I'm constantly trying to get better and trying to learn this, trying to figure out what is it I don't know and how can I take myself to another level.
Any of the ones that you taught, are they going out and teaching other people?
Yeah. A lady called me today and told me that her son is now teaching. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't teach the children like that. It's not about teaching them chess. My program is about making better choices and better decisions. So it's really less about chess. It's more about building character and letting children know that you win or lose based on decisions that you make. Don't
mm-hmm.
play the blame game. Play the win.
Uh-huh. That sounds mighty good to me. So
yeah,
we,
so a lot of people are playing the blame game. But black and white is the same. There was no blame in this game. It's only aim.
Mm-hmm.
And the key ideal is to aim high.
There you go.
Aim high. You can do this. You can do it here. And you can do it now. Don't play the blame game. Play the win.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Hmm. So you really lay it on the line, don't you?
Well, I try to do my part.
It sounds like you do. But you're a guy that, is, like Martin Luther King used to say, you got to walk your talk. And I do believe you do that.
Well, God is good. I try to bring value. I was telling my son, I said, son, you must bring value. I mean, at the end of the day, you must bring value. If you ain't bringing value, you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you subtract value, you will lose, and you're going to get in a lot of trouble.
Okay. That sounds like a solid thing to begin to work on that principle. So when you are working with kids, I mean, I've seen some of your went onto your website. By the way, would you give the website that you have so that people could go?
BeSomeone.org. www.besomeone.org.
Uh-huh. And there are so many photos of you there working with kids and. I see them sitting at the chessboards, and you leaning over and kind of giving them a hint here and there, I gather.
Yep. That would be me.
So So how do you go from one... I heard a rumor about you that you played more than one chess game at a time.
Is that true? That's true. It's called a simultaneous exposition, and I've actually played several people at once, and once you've done it a few times, you can do it too.
Mm. So you actually play more, have more than one game going on simultaneously, huh?
Right. Yeah, it's called pattern recognition. Pattern recognition allows you to plan, prepare, position, and predict. Once you know the pattern, you know what's coming next. So it's real easy to play several people at once because you know the pattern.
How does that translate into life?
Patterns. Here's a pattern for you. It takes 280 days to have a baby. That's a pattern. So pattern recognition allow you to know you can predict to do that. Pattern recognition allows you to plan, prepare, position, or predict. For an example, at a certain time there's a traffic light. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain time there's traffic. At a certain time there's no traffic. So if I'm going downtown, let me give you an example. I parked my car the other day, and the lady said, "How did you get VIP parking right in the front of the building like that? You was right in front." I go, the pattern recognition. If you get there 30 minutes before everybody else, bam, you get the first choice.
I see. Okay. So you work the patterns and you teach them how to apply that to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so interesting because I know so many people. They just go flat out, and they don't think about what's coming next.
Right.
They're always surprised.
Yep.
So
you got to think ahead. To move ahead, you got to think ahead.
And when you think ahead, then that move, you know a lot more about it in advance. Is that what you're telling me?
Because you know what's coming next.
Hmm. Now, that's the difference, I gather, between chess and checkers, right?
Yeah.
The strategy and planning about what's going to come next. And
don't do the first thing that pops in your head. Your first assumption could be wrong. So you got to take time to think things through. Six magic words. Take time to think things through. Your first thought could be wrong. So you got to challenge your assumptions and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I mean, you know, because by nature, people are greedy, by nature. But greed doesn't work. Because greed is about you. But when you're thinking about other people, it's about them.
Mm-hmm. Mhm.
It's about them.
Yeah.
I'm living my dream because of this. I know this formula. It's not about me. Let me give you an example. A lady called me at 1:30 in the morning and asked me would I volunteer to help her son and sign court documents saying I would do it. Now, I know the formula. I said yes because I know how it works.
Uh-huh.
Now, a reporter said, why would you take a phone call at 1:30 in the morning from a stranger? And I said, a full-time soldier sleeps with his boots on. It's not about me.
Yes,
it's about we.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes teamwork to make the dream work.
I hear you. I do hear you. That is something very interesting. So the fact that you actually committed to helping somebody that you never met, but how did the person find out about you?
I'm not really sure, but I've been on TV a lot, but I'm not sure. I didn't even get into that because it's really not about that. It's about that person is me.
Uh-huh.
I'm just paying it forward. A white teacher in an all-black high school t- took time to help me. And I asked him, I said, listen, why did you help me? He said he got in trouble when he was my age, and someone helped him, and he's just paying it forward.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, wow. But he did tell me, because we was in an all-black high school, he said, Orrin, when I went to your school, when I went to Hayes High School, the principal said to me, hey, look, before I hire you, I got to tell you something. This is an all-black high school. He go, oh, I don't have a problem with that. But he said, the principal said, wait a minute, this is all 100% black. 100,
uh-huh.
Not 99, 100.
Okay, uh-huh.
Yeah, it was funny.
Oh, boy.
100%, not 99, 100.
Wow!
So, but he taught me chess, and he ain't a prejudiced bone in this man body.
Mhm.
He don't see color.
Yeah, that is so totally amazing. You know, I was born down in Southern Illinois, and it was, you know, the heart of the Bible Belt. But the interesting thing was we had integrated high schools from, I know for sure, in 1903. Because my great-grandfather was superintendent of schools. And he made sure that it was. Because in the Civil War, he was wounded, like in the Second Battle of the War. And they put him down in Vicksville at the head of the first all black company fighting for the North.
Mm.
And this man respected the ability of every kid, and so he refused to have segregation. They had it in the grammar schools, but from the junior high and the high school, we were integrated. Never thought a thing about it. There was one of the first place second violinist was black. Never even occurred to me that there was segregation. It just never occurred to me.
Hmm.
Because in our town there wasn't.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, it is amazing.
So when you look at that and you come from that kind of background, how are you going to say this person can't do this or that because of his skin color?
Well, we gotta drop that. We gotta realize that we all are one, and you know, and that no man is an island, and each of us are cut from the same fabric, and it takes a village to help our young people, and it takes all of us working the teamwork. So I just thank God for my life. I'm able to do what I can to make this world a better place.
And I think you are really doing it. And I presume that your chess camps are integrated.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Better be. because why should you cheat?
Mm-hmm.
Kids out of what you've got to give. And this is so important that we have been cheated out of things that brilliant people have to give. I mean, when I've talked, I was friends, very, very dear friends with Hazel Scott, and she told me about being snowbound. I mean, she didn't like to fly. That woman would not fly unless she absolutely had life or death. But she was going out to California, and the and the train got snowbound, and they were buried in snow for 3 days. And when they finally, got out, they went to this restaurant, and the manager refused to serve her. So guess what she did? She sued them, and every dime she won went to the NAACP.
Wow.
How about that for a story?
Yeah, people don't get it, man. People don't get it. When you do something to harm someone else, you're doing it to yourself.
You sure?
Trust me on that.
Sure.
No, that's why God says vengeance is mine. There's a Chinese proverb said, before you seek revenge on someone, dig two graves.
Yes. Oh, yes. Those Chinese are pretty.
I learned that from Oprah.
Oprah
Winfrey said she was downtown New York, and she was real mad at this lady who did something to her. And she saw the lady across the street walking into Tiffany's, which is a real expensive jewelry store, laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, that woman be happy and I'm mad at her. But the woman had thought, forgot all about it, and she moving on with her life. And yeah, so when you can't go around holding grudges and being mad at somebody, you got to let that go.
Yeah, somebody said, I wish I could remember who it was, but he said, you know, trying to get revenge is like swallowing poison and hoping that your enemy gets sick.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, you got to keep it moving. You got to make sure you walk in love. And love means to give what I expect in anything in return.
Yes, that is the important
thing.
That's
what love. When you give what I expect in anything in return,
yeah,
that's what it's all about. And we got to teach people to give and walk away, bring value.
My son taught me that. Oh, my goodness, he must have been about 16 or 17 at the time. And I gave him something very precious for We're always pretty tight for money, so I gave him something very precious that had belonged to my deceased husband. And he went to a party, and he didn't have anything to give to them for a birthday present, so he took this thing that I had given him, and I was upset about it. And he looked at me, and he said, I thought you gave that to me. And I said, I did. But he said, no, you didn't. Because if you'd really given it to me, you would know that it was mine. I could do anything I wanted to with it.
I love that. How did he know that at that age?
And I stood there with my mouth hanging open, and I said, you're right.
He got you. That is out of the mouth of faith.
He got me.
Out of the mouth of faith. He got you on that one.
He sure did. So the things that you learn, when we give, and we got a string on it, it's not really given, is it?
Right. Yes. Yeah, you're right. No strings attached.
Yeah. So what you're saying to me is you live that every single day. You really do.
I really do, because I sleep, drink, and live it, because it's who I am as a person, and I'm all about personal development and growth and trying to help my neighbor and treating people like, you know, they're the most important person in the world.
Yeah. How about your kids at home?
I have 6 children on my own, all girls. Well, except for 3 boys. Well, except for 3 boys.
Okay.
So...
oh, my goodness. You got 9 children?
No. I have 6. I have 6 children total, all girls except for 3 boys. So I have 3 girls and 3
right.
boys. Just being funny.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Just being funny. But,
okay. That's a joke I didn't get. I got to pay more attention to this chess man here.
Yes, well, that was a little joke.
Yeah.
But it was nice talking to you, and you guys want to take my information down, is besomeone.org, and my website is besomeone.org, and my email is orin@besomeone.org. If I can serve you guys in any capacity, please let me know.
And how does someone get in touch with you to do a motivational speech?
Just orin@besomeone.org, orin@besomeone.org.
Okay.
And please invite Orin Checkmate Hudson to energize your next event. I'll be happy to do it.
That sounds good to me. And recommend people get in touch with you on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook as well, Orin Checkmate Hudson, and you can find me on Facebook there. And my website is besomeone.org, and my email is orin@besomeone.org. Now, my company is called Be Someone. I came up with the name Be Someone because Abraham Lincoln, his mother, her last words on the planet to Abraham was Be Someone. And even though Abraham had failed many times running for public office, Abraham Lincoln took those two words, Be Someone, all the way to the White House.
Yeah.
So my assignment in life now is to empower our young people to be someone. Get your head up, get your pants up, get your grades up, and the big one, never give up.
And there was a man who couldn't even get elected dog catcher.
Wow.
And he became president.
There you go.
So
you don't know what you don't know. One person plus God is a majority. So don't worry about the forces that are against you. Just know the forces that are with you are stronger than the forces that are against you. God is still on the throne.
And there, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you fall. It's how you bounce up after you fall. Isn't that right?
Right. Yeah. The Bible says a good man falls down six times, but he gets back up. So never give up. Get back up. And if you fall down, look up, because if you can look up, you can get up.
Amen. Well, on that note, I just want to say I'm getting the feeling that you are a busy, busy man, and you've given up so much time for us, and I just really want to thank you. And I guess maybe if you could say one thing to somebody in the audience who's hungry and waiting for a chance to meet someone like you, what would you tell them?
Being the best is a major quest. Don't get upset if you fail your first test. Try again and learn from within. Set your goals high and believe that you can. Stay focused and on track. Associate with positive people and don't look back. Believe in yourself and think before you act. Keep a positive attitude and get all the facts. Be someone.
Amen. Well, thank you again, Orin Checkmate Hudson. It's been a real joy having you as guest on my show, and I want this show to be seen a million times because we've got a million kids out there that need you.
Well, I'd love to get a copy of this show to help promote it, and, you know, I'm all about personal growth and teaching our young people how to play chess and how to make good, great decisions. And, you know, my website is besomeone.org, and my email is orin@besomeone.org. And my phone number is 770-465-6445, 770-465-6445. I live in Stone Mound, Georgia, which is not far from Atlanta. And I'm just a phone call away from coming to your city and doing what I have to do to teach our young people how to choose peace, how to choose positivity, and how to choose purpose.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, and to the audience and to everybody who will ever hear this, love and light. And don't ever forget Orin Checkmate Hudson. Bye now.
Besomeone.org.
Be someone. Bye.